of life or raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When I, like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, in the midst of tribulation, stand by me. And in the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of Satan assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by. When I'm growing old and feeble, and when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. And when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing Chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of sin assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. When the host of sin assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, the altar of life, giver of every good gift, we thank you this morning, Lord, for giving us another privilege to come into the house of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you with all our hearts. We pray, oh God, that you will please come this morning and grace us with your presence. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, along the way this morning. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take a whole lot of this service and have his way this morning. We also want to remember our precious pastor and his family, wherever they are. May you bless them, Lord. May you take a hold of this vessel, Lord, and take the man out of the way and stir up the gift that you've placed in this vessel and use it for your glory this morning. May you speak to our hearts and strengthen our faith this morning. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, musicians. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Please forgive me this morning. I'm a little tired. I really didn't get enough sleep. I just probably got, maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours sleep this morning. Amen. Between work and trying to put a message together. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray that God will help us this morning, and he will strengthen us and bless us this morning. Please keep me in your prayers that God will give me inspiration. Amen. Just let me loose. Amen. So that I can flow in the Spirit this morning. May we turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I like to read from verse 5 through 11. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 5, I'll start with part B of verse 5. Everybody's got that? It says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, we corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like to speak this morning on a thought, test and triers. Amen. Test and triers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to read a couple quotes as we go into our subject. First quote is in a message, "Our hope is in God." Brother Branham said he was praying. He said, "Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight to know that the great Spirit of God, which was upon the prophet Elisha, is on earth today, still moving on down through the sons of God. The great Holy Spirit that was given at Pentecost is here tonight. And thy children, many are weary and worn, being pushed about all for their own good, their teaching, their child training to bring them up in the admiration of the Lord." He said, "Trials worth more than silver and gold. But as it is written, no chastisement is pleasant for the time being. But finally, when thy church becomes to have its training, then they will become adopted sons or placed sons into the inheritance of God. We shall inherit all things and be equal in the powers and blessings as the Son of God, brothers to him." Blessed be the name of the Lord. The next quote I want to read is in a message, "The Angel of the Lord." This is what the prophet said. He said, "One of these mornings," she's speaking of the church of God, "she'll go up in the air to meet the Lord after she's went through these hard tests." That's right. Great picture, persecuted, laughed at, but God's bringing her out. She's held right on. You cry for deliverance. Sickness broke out among you. Diseases, cancer, blindness. That's the thing that's been harming the church. He said, then the church began to cry, "Oh God, send the restoration of the gifts. Oh mine." He said, "I hope you pardon this personal expression, but about a few years ago, I believe with all my heart, the same pillar of fire that came down in the burning bush swept to this earth again. I believe it's in our midst tonight. If God could do that and bring deliverance in the days gone by in the church natural, so will he in church spiritual." He said, "And I believe tonight that the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel is here tonight. I want to declare that same pillar of fire is here this morning." Amen. Hallelujah. Leading the church spiritual now, delivering them. He said, "You can only be delivered by faith." Blessed be the name of the Lord. That same pillar of fire that met Moses in the burning bush, the prophet saying, is here right now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to try to go a little slow. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 11 to 12, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our father is a real father. Amen. He doesn't have spoiled children. When you come to God as a son and daughter of God, he will discipline you. And the discipline, the purpose of being disciplined is for your own good. It's to help bring you into maturity. I want us to look at tests and trials differently this morning. A lot of times we see tests and trials as problems. And sometimes we try to avoid those things. But those things are necessary to get you ready for the body change. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the book of Job chapter 5 verse 17 it says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Also in Psalm chapter 94 verses 12 through 14 it states, "Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of the law." He said that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. Amen. I look up that word adversity, and that word adversity means difficulties, misfortunes. The synonyms are misfortunes, trouble, difficult, hardship, distress, disaster, misadventure, pain, trauma, torment, torture. These are the things that we go through. Now we look at these things as negativity. But these things, when they come upon you, first, these things will never come upon you if God doesn't allow it. And we know God is not the author of confusion. So God uses these qualities to bring out the best out of you and me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It says adversity also means adverse or unfavorable fortune or fate, or condition marked by misfortune, calamity, or distress. Now I have a comment written that says, friends will show their true color in times of adversity. When trouble comes, that's when you know who's really your friend or not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in verse 14 of the same chapter of Job chapter 5, it says, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will forsake his inheritance." I believe the bride of Jesus Christ is the inheritance of God. God will not cast his people off. He will not forsake his inheritance. When trouble comes your way, I want to assure you this morning that God is with you. When everything seems to be going wrong, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. The Lord will not cast off his people. The Lord will not. This is the word of God. He will not cast off his people. No matter what you go through, no matter what you've done, God will never forsake you. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. You belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when problems come your way, you found favor with God. The Bible is saying God will not. He will not forsake you. No matter what you've done. No matter how much people condemn you. Let's look at David. The Bible says David is a man, or was a man after God's own heart. But one time David found himself in trouble. And David thought that he could hide away from God. But God sent a prophet to expose him. The purpose of him being exposed was for deliverance. Because God will not forsake you.
As bad as what David did, as bad as it was, God never forsook him. He was still a man after God's own heart. You see, God's love for you is election. God cannot deny you because you are a part of God, a son of God, eternal. When Adam and Eve sinned at the beginning, God made a way of escape. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you can have faith and confidence in the word of God this morning. Now that doesn't give us a license to go do wrong. If you go do wrong, your father will discipline you. But he cannot deny you because you are a part of God. In Revelation 3:19, it states, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. He's saying, be zealous. That's a purpose for which he's rebuking and chastising you. That's the love of God. I have a comment written here. It says, proper discipline is a proof of love. If we come in the natural, we parents, we discipline our children because we love them. We want to see them successful. So when they go on the wrong route, we have to correct them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, through our scriptures, God portrays himself as a father. He is a loving father who not only blesses but disciplines his beloved children. That word beloved, we look in 1 John 1:4-7. It says, beloved, let us love one another. You are not just children, but you are beloved children. That's how much God loves you. You are not just a son or a daughter, but you are a beloved. You are the apple of God's eyes. Beloved children. Hallelujah. It says here, also a loving father carefully watches his son. And when that son defies his orders or heads for danger, the father disciplines him to keep him safe. God disciplines for safety. Hallelujah. He said God does the same with us. When a born again child of God heads for sin or refuses to resist temptation, our Heavenly Father brings chastening into his life to direct him back to holiness. You see, God is in another dimension, but he's here and he's watching you. God is not millions of miles away and he abandoned his children. He's right here. The Bible says the angel of the Lord is encamped around them that fear him. He has a watchful eyes upon his children. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're going through. And he's trying to teach you to come to maturity. See, when you have a baby, that baby doesn't stay a baby. He's got to grow up. But in the process of growing up, there are some things he's got to go through. There are some things that the parent has to teach him to get him to the place, him or her, to be independent. That is love. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tests and trials. Hallelujah. Now in a message, for him will I accept. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to try to take my time. Brother Branham said here, he said, now I want just to read a scripture found in Job 42:8. Hallelujah. He was reading the scripture. He says, therefore, take unto you, he was reading a portion of that scripture in verse 8. Therefore, take unto you, God was speaking to his friends of Job. Take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for he will I accept. Hallelujah. The prophet said that's prayer, one for the other, the value of prayer. He said Job lived along the time of Nimrod and back in there somewhere down from Seth to Abraham. He said Job was a priest and a prince. And he loved the Lord, and God blessed him, made him a great man. He said, and then Satan came up. Satan came up with the sons of God, sitting right amongst them. Satan always tried to get up in the assembly of the saints. The prophet talked about 3 kinds of believers in every assembly. Hallelujah. The prophet said God began to speaking about the earth. He said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This is God testifying of Job. God had confidence in Job. God knew who Job was, the real Job. We'll see a difference the way God was looking at Job and the way Satan's looking at Job. Just put yourself in Job's shoes this morning. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Tom? Let's bring it home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A perfect man. This is God's testifying of Job. He said Job was a servant. Then he said Job was a perfect man. But if you go a little earlier in the scripture, we'll find out that this man that God said is perfect was wondering. He didn't know who he was. But here God is testifying in the heavens that Job was a perfect man. God is saying there is none like him. Just think about it. You know how we brag about our children. I got the best. You look at the qualities in your children and you're proud. This is God bragging about Job. He said there is none like him. I believe when God looks down this morning at Amazing Grace, he tells Satan, have you considered my children? There is none in Wallingford like them. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. A perfect man. None like him in the earth. Satan said, oh, yes. He said, yes. You got him hedged up. You are blessing him and giving him everything you could give him. Said, sure. He will serve you like that. You see what Satan was looking at? In other words, Satan didn't believe God's testimony. He said, sure. He's trying to say that he knows better than God. Sure. Yeah, of course he's going to love you. You bless him, you give him everything. Life is great. Who won't love you? That's what Satan was saying. But why Satan failed to realize before there was a speck of light, when God dwelt alone with his eternal thoughts, when there was no angels and nothing. God knew Job, the real Job. So God was testifying from another angle. When your names was placed on the Lamb's Book of Life, the real you, Satan had no idea about that. He told Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the sons of God shouted, God dwelt alone. He wasn't even God then. He was the great eternal spirit. He knew Job then. So you see where God is coming from. He's a perfect man. Before you step down in the time to make mistakes, who were you? A perfect man. A perfect woman. See, Satan had a beginning. So he can only start from what he knows. So you see the two angles. This is God bragging of Job. Because of that seed gene. This is Satan accusing Job because of what he sees on the outside. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, he will serve you like that. Said, let me have him. And I will make him curse you to your face. The devil, whatever you claim, Satan will challenge that. He's going to prove you. That's his job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you notice, all this was happening. Job had no clue. Life was great. Look, everything was great for Job. Job was on the mountain. Hallelujah. He shouted. He sings the glory. Oh, every day was glory. Job had no idea what was coming. See? Hey, amen. Hallelujah. He said, let me have him and I will make him curse you to your face. Now he said, he's at your hand. That's how much confidence God had in Job. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to prove to you that he is my son. He's a part of me, the real part. Amen. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. He said, I will break. This is God speaking. The things you complain about, you say, because of the blessings and the protection, that's why Job loves me. He's serving me. So God is saying, I will break the hedge. Satan could, he says, Satan can do nothing to you unless God permits it. So you don't have to be, the prophet said, don't be scared of nothing. God said, okay, I will break the hedge. But don't you take his life. Amen. And Satan done everything but take his life. I want you to notice there. God told Satan, do whatever, but don't take his life. So no matter what Satan wanted to do, he could not touch Job's life because he was not permitted. Satan can only do to you what God permits him to do to you. So when trials come your way, don't see the trial as negativity. God is bringing out the best out of you. Satan can only harm you when God says harm him in this or that. Touch him here or there. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The prophet said, his wife walked to the door, let's say one day, and said, oh, Job, you look so miserable. Why don't you curse God and die? You see, Satan couldn't touch Job. He couldn't get Job to curse God. So he came to the one that Job loved. After he took Job, all his children, just imagine losing all your children. And he didn't stop there. He took everything from Job, from a wealthy man to a pauper. He still couldn't get Job. Hallelujah. I believe God was just standing back, just smiling, watching. Like the prophet Elijah, when those priests of Baal was praying. He said, oh, maybe your God is on vacation. You know? Or maybe he's doing this, or maybe he's doing that. Hallelujah. Because he knew who he was. He knew the God he served as the living God. So I believe God was standing back just watching. Is that all you got, Satan? He said, I'll touch his body. So he covered Job with boils. He still couldn't change nothing. Job couldn't curse God. Then he got a hold of Job's wife. You know, Job loves his wife very much. Hallelujah. She said, you look so miserable. Hallelujah. Why don't you curse God and just die? Job said, woman. He didn't even say, honey or my dear. Hallelujah. Brother, when it comes to the word of God, everything is secondary. He said, woman, thou speakest like a foolish woman. Because Job knew who God was. You see? He knew who God was. So not even a wife could persuade him. We got to come to the place where there is nothing that can stand your faith. There is nothing, no one, Paul said, one can separate us from the love of God. He said, woman. When it came to Job's faith, the wife was secondary. He loved his wife, but when it comes to God, she's secondary. Woman, thou speakest like a foolish woman. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord give, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job knew that Satan has no authority. It's God that gives, and it's God that takes away. Satan can do nothing to you unless God permits it. We have to learn to see the hand of God in everything in our lives. Or else you will get frustrated. You see, when trials come, it comes unexpected. Sometimes everything is going well, and then something comes from nowhere, boom, just sweeps you off your feet. Just like that. Changes your whole life around just like that. You found favor with God. That thing would never happen unless God allow it. That's why it's important to know who you are. Know your purpose on this earth. It's nice to be successful. We all do these things as necessary. But don't depend on those things. Because God can take those things away anytime. And if you're depending on that, then you'll be confused. You lose your balance. You have to know and understand who you are and what is your purpose. To see the hand of God, you see, your purpose is more important than any accomplishment in this life. When things happen, it just happens unexpected. Sickness just comes like that. You're not even thinking about it. Everything is where all of a sudden, boom, something happens. Surprisingly, just like that. Sometimes you go to work the next day, boom, you're fired. You lose your business, something terrible. A loved one is seriously sick, or your church, something, you get what I'm saying? Now, if you don't know your purpose, and you're not grounded in the word, it takes you away. That's how some people turn their backs on God. You see, Job knew who he was. Job knew who God was. So when unexpected things started happening, he could go back to his anchor. We have to have an anchor. No matter how beautiful your ship is, if it doesn't have an anchor, when the winds come, it'll blow you away. You need an anchor. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord give, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job understood something. We need to get to the place to embrace our trials. The Bible says it's more than gold. It's more precious than gold. Your trials is more precious than anything you value in this life. It's important to understand these things because the trials will come. Because God's purpose will be accomplished. We're in the third Exodus and we're speaking of body change. But in order to get this body change, we need to get in position. You cannot get yourself in position. God's going to do that. But God uses trials to get you in position. Whether you like it or not, there's a purpose for it. Because you are a son and a daughter. So your perfection is more important. Because the things we have around us now, these are temporal. You see, anything that has a beginning has an end. That which has no beginning has no end. Brother Branham says, God don't care about no country. He said, it's the only kingdom, I'm just paraphrasing, that God cares about is the kingdom of God. So no matter how much of a true American you are, or what country you come from, how much loyal you are, that is temporal. That will pass away. We have to look after the permanent. We're headed somewhere. We are. Yesterday is gone, will never come back. There's one thing you cannot stop, that's time. The worship service started at 10:30. Getting to 12 o'clock. 10:30 will never come back. It's gone forever. We are all headed somewhere, whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, you were headed somewhere. See, a lot of people have the ostrich mentality. I learned that an ostrich, when he's in trouble, he buries his head in the sand and pretends everything is okay. A lot of people live like that. Denial, they don't want to face reality. But whether you like it or not, you're going ahead. You were once a baby, now you're an adult. You're going to be a senior, and you're going to pass on. Whether you're ready or not. But the Brethren said, we live as mortals once. We got to get ready for body change. And God will make sure of that. We learned the last time there's nothing you can do to be a Christian. You were elected. And because of the fact that you were elected, God will bring you to perfection. Whether you like it or not. But it'll help you and me if we understand these things and be ready for it. Because our perfection is the most important and urgent thing to God. We're in the last days. The coming of the Lord is at his doors. Something is happening. Things are happening. Whether we want to listen to or pay attention or not, things are happening. I want to let you know this morning, if you are a true seed of God, God will bring you to perfection. You cannot bring yourself to perfection. So keep that in your mind. Be ready for it. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. But he's got it all, like we sing the song. He's got it all in control. God has ordained your life from end to beginning. Everything you have to go through to perfection, God has calculated everything. You understand? Sometimes we look at natural things. Oh, I don't have this. Oh, what am I going to do? We work towards things that's nice. But your life was ordained. If you receive any blessings now, God allowed that thing for a purpose. If you're going through problems now, God is allowing it for a purpose. You will never go through anything that God doesn't allow. We see it here. God allows Satan to wipe Job's children all out. Now, if you look at it from the natural, you'll be like, didn't it happen to Brother Branham? When he was supposed to go to the Pentecost and he listened to his mother-in-law? What did God do? He took his wife and his daughter. You see, when you go the wrong way, your father will discipline you because you were a son. But Brenham didn't want his family to die. But God told them when he was praying, the curtain came down.
Thank you, brother. I got something.
The curtain came down. In the darkest hour, the devil came to him.
So you pray for others. This God, I'm just paraphrasing, this God that loves you, claim he loves you. You mean he couldn't heal your daughter and your wife?
Brother Brown made a statement. He said, he saw the flies in the eyes of his little Sharon Rose. Later on in his ministry, he said from that time when he's in the prayer line and he look at a little child with crushed eye. Because of the experience, there was never a child that had crossed eye that was standing before the prophet that would not be healed. God allows to go through circumstance for a purpose, for his purpose. When Brother Brown was weeping, when his wife was dying, he called her back. He was a prophet. She said, "Oh, Billy, why are you calling me back?" You see, Brother Brown, they had no clue what was going on the other side. She didn't say, "Oh, thank God, Billy, you called me back, I'm alive," whatever. She said, "Why did you call me back? You talk about it, you preach about it, but you don't know." Before Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, he was laying on his bed and he was wondering what it'll be like. What when he meets Brother, what it would be, a clouds or something floating. And then a voice said, "Do you want to see?" He said, "It'll help my faith." And in a moment of time, he was there. When Brother Branham went there, he didn't want to come back. He forgot the ministry. When he came back, what did he say? He said, "Just love." The experience. Christianity is reality. It's wonderful to know the quotes and scripture, but we have to become partakers of the thing. It's reality. That's what grounds you. That's your anchor. Look at Peter, the disciples. Before Pentecost, they believed God, but they were limited. When Peter told Jesus that he would not deny him, he meant it. But he was flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. It took Pentecost to get Peter to where he ought to be. The experience. Look at those guys when they got with them, something came to rejoice. Before, when Christ told them to go to Jerusalem, look how God works. They were afraid of the Jews. In the very Jerusalem is where Christ was crucified. Why didn't Christ tell them to go to Bethlehem or somewhere to wait for the Holy Ghost? The very place that they were afraid of, that's where he told them to go and wait. Go to Jerusalem. The very Jerusalem, the one that had nothing to do with. That was trials for them. That's why they were in the upper room, because they were afraid. They locked themselves up because they were afraid. That was trial. But after Pentecost, they came in the temple courts. No fear. Why? They had an experience. They had an anchor now. It didn't matter no more. That's the reality. That's what trials does. The prophet talked about when you're in a trial, then God comes in the trial. That's where you meet God. It's in the trials. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They took a stand for the word. But God sat back and let them go in the fire because he was testing their faith to see what they'll do. But when they stood their ground, then God came in the fire and vindicated their stand. So when trial comes your way and everything goes crazy, God is watching your reaction. If you don't want tests and trials, the Bible says, then we are bastards and not sons. But God tests his children. God is the one that tries you. Every son and daughter that comes to God will be tried.
There's no way outside of that.
So trials is a good thing. To get this body changed, you need trials. It takes trials to get you ready for your body change.
Oh, hallelujah. Let me just jump ahead of myself. The prophet said in the message, questions and answers,
he said, look at Job, a perfect man, a just man. And God permitted the devil to come upon him and chastise him and everything else for the perfecting of the spirit.
I wrote a comment here.
What's the reason for the trials of Job, the perfection of Job's spirit? Job's perfection was more important to God than anything. The devil went to and fro in the earth.
He didn't come to God's complaining about Job.
It was God who brought his attention to Job.
There was a purpose for that.
Job was a priest and a prince.
Everything was going well.
But he had to come to perfection. So God allowed the devil to test Job to bring perfection. God will allow the devil to try you to bring perfection. It's wonderful to be a believer. It's wonderful to be an elect. But you have to come to perfection. The Bible says Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered. Paul said, I am knowing him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of suffering.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
In a message at thy word, the prophet said, he said, I believe the apostle said that our trials are better than gold to us. Think of it. He said, God might let you get sick in order that you might be a testimony, that he might heal you, that you can stand on his word. He said, then when you reach the opposition, you can say, I know. See, in one of the messages, I think it was in a press service, when a sister had, I think, cancer.
And there was another sister that was in the service that was healed of the same disease. So the prophet, I'm just paraphrasing, sent that sister that had the issue to go to the other sister that been through the thing to pray for her, to lay hands on her. You see?
To be able to be effective with, if you pray for someone, you have to be able to enter into that person's infirmities. You can't bluff this. Sometimes God will let us to go through things maybe for someone else. So don't despise your trials. When everything is going wrong for you in the church and everybody else has been blessed, don't despise it. Don't start questioning. Sometimes we do that. A lot of times we do that. Lord, why? Why is this thing happening? We need to be able to recognize and see our purpose all the time. This is where the rubber meets the road. You are not a Christian just to be happy. Your God is bringing you to something. God has called you for a purpose. To be conformed to the image of his son. He foreordained you to be conformed. He elected you so that you can be conformed to the image of Christ. That's our purpose. So it takes trial to bring the best out of you.
We all go through different trials.
It doesn't matter what position you hold, whether you're a preacher, you're the pastor, you're a member, it doesn't matter. You are a son and daughter of God first. And God will bring you to perfection. Because you are a bride. when the bride, when the rapture takes place, when this body change come, it's going to be a mature bride. We're not going to get body change in this condition we're in. God will bring us to maturity, and it's going to take trials. It can come either way. It can come by your disobedience, or God can put the thing on you. So never have confidence in the natural things. Don't put your whole hopes on the natural things. No matter how well you're doing in life, no matter how much you're being blessed now, that thing can change anytime. You don't know what's happening. Job didn't know everything was fine. He didn't know what was happening. There was a conversation going on. Job had no idea that he was the subject of the conversation. Job was doing everything right. He was serving God, but God wasn't concerned about those things. God was concerned about his perfection. Because Job wasn't on the earth to stay. Whatever you're going through, whatever is bothering you, that thing is there for a purpose. So trials is not a terrible thing. Tests and trials. We need to understand these things. The Christian life is not a bed of ease. It's not. If you thought it was, you better change your thinking because you are in for a surprise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, a witness is somebody who's really done something, been somewhere, and seen something. Is that right? He said, now remember, a witness has to be a witness, eyewitness, to know what they're speaking of. If you've been sick and God heal you, now when a brother or sister is going through the same thing, you know, the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. You know what the Bible's speaking of because you've been experiencing that thing and you've been through it. You see? If you've been through something and your brother or sister is going through that thing, when you pray for that person, you will have more effect than the brother who has no clue. God wants reality. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Please bear with me. The time is going. The Bible says after God formed man out of the dust of the earth, then God said it wasn't good for man to dwell alone. I believe God allowed Adam to go through the loneliness. Adam had everything, but he wasn't happy. So I believe it took a period of time. Adam was lonely. God allowed Adam to experience what he experienced way back because God dwelt alone. The prophet said God yearned for fellowship. That's a strong word. He yearned. When you yearn for something, you got to have it no matter what. So God knew what it was to be lonely. But he was training his son Adam, so he allowed Adam to dwell alone. Why didn't God create Eve when he did Adam? Why didn't he put Adam to sleep right away and took Eve out? But he allowed Adam to be alone. So when Eve stepped on the scene, Adam appreciated Eve. You see? Eve was more to him than just a friend. That's why he could give himself for her. Because he knew what it was to be lonely. See, our Father, he's wise. We are born of his bone. Flesh of his flesh, we're a character of his character. Character is a victory. Just be aware of these things because God will bring you through. If you are a true seed of God, he will bring you through. Whether you like it or not. When you go to boot camp and you're a soldier, you cannot bypass the training. That's protocol. Whether you like it or not, you got to go through it. And that training is relevant because when you go to war, then you appreciate the training.
If you haven't been to war, you don't appreciate it. Why is this thing so difficult? Why do I have to be, why do I have to treat me like this? But when you're in the heat of the battle, then you appreciate the training. See, this thing is reality. Tests and trials. He was talking to a sister. He said, now, sister, you are sitting there with the blinded eyes, with the glasses on. Probably bad eyes, or you wouldn't even have the glasses. Now, isn't that something? Listen to the prophet. He said, to know that God let that sight get in that condition. God let that woman go blind. He said, God let that, this is the prophet speaking. God let that sight get in that condition. God did that. That he might give a testimony. Test and trials. And the message God in his word, prophet said, no one ever know of God but what? Long to see God. There's just something in the human heart that calls out to see God. Hallelujah. He said, now we find here the oldest book in the Bible was Job. And Job was a righteous man, and how he was tested of God. He said, now God doesn't tempt men, but God tries men. Test them. God cannot tempt you, but God can test you. And every son that cometh to God must, absolutely mandatory, be tested or child trained before he can be your son. There's no way outside that one. God is the one that's doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, and if we can't stand chastisement, the Bible said we become illegitimate children and not children of God. He said, because a child of God is born of God, and he will stand the test anywhere, anytime, on any condition. That's right, a child that is born of God. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He said, notice, now Job was going through a testing time, and Satan had told God, I will make him curse you to your face. See, that old accuser, he said, God is saying to, look what was happening in heaven. Satan told God, I will make Job curse you to your face. Satan knew what he was talking, he knew what he could do. But this is God speaking. Hallelujah. God said, you just can't do it. Hallelujah. I know, my son. You can't do it. The prophet said, I like that. He said, God had confidence in Job. So when trials come your way, it should let you know that God has confidence in you. When your life is shattered, everything is scattered, and not even the believers in the pastor can help you, and you're all alone. God has confidence in you. If you're going through sickness and it's lingering, my brother, God has confidence in you. You are son of God. We need to look at anything right. We humans, we look at things differently. Oh God, I don't want to go through this. Why is this thing happening? But God is allowing that thing because you are son of God. You are daughter of God. He put it on you. He allowed the devil to do that for your perfection. No matter what your circumstance, whatever you're dealing with, God is allowing you to suffer for a purpose. That should give you confidence. Hallelujah. I'm just going to rush through, skip for time. Oh, my. Hallelujah. In another message, beginning and ending of the Gentiles dispensation, Brother Bram said he's a very beautiful example of what a true believer comes to when he really accepts the Lord Jesus as Savior.
He is always put to a test. Satan's still in the testing business. And it only comes about to help you. It's for your good. This will change our perspective on trials. What we think is negative is actually positive. That should let you know you are son and daughter of God. You are in the perfect will of God. See, when Jesus was going to be crucified, when he was in the garden, he went through his test. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. When he was healing the sick and raising the dead, everything was fine. But when push came to shove, the Lord Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. The Lord Jesus died the most horrible death. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He was born for that purpose. When real trials come, you don't want it. But you got to remember to stand your ground. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me, Lord. The Bible said David encouraged himself. After they went out and they came back and their families were taken and their homes was burned and everything. The very men, these mighty Gentile warriors out with David, they turned against David. They wanted to stone him. They cried. The Bible says they wept. I'm just paraphrasing. That they couldn't cry no more. Their families were taking their children, their wives. They turned against David, the very one that was anointed to be king. David couldn't go to no one. He couldn't talk to anyone. The Bible says he encouraged, he had to go back to his anchor. He had to go back to the foundation. He had to go, he only had one friend that stayed closer than a brother, that was God. He had to go back, that's his anchor. Every believer needs one. Because there might come a time in your life where no one can help you. When you need the believers, they're not there. You need a pastor, he's not there. Sometimes God will pull everybody away. To see why you would do, you're on your own. Now it takes that which is in you to hold you. It's easy to have friends when everything is okay. But when you're in deep trouble, that's when the friends forsake you. I know what it's like. I was in a war before. People talk about war, they watch the news, they have no clue. When the U.S. was in Iraq and this thing was happening. Just think about those innocent people. It's one thing to see stuff on the news. It's another thing to be in the thing. I was a young man. Everything was fine. I didn't know no message. My whole life got turned upside down, a teenager. Just like that. Going to adult, going to 18, around 18. Nowhere to escape. Confusion. I didn't know the message. I didn't understand. I was going to church my whole life upside down. There was three things. You have sickness. Then you got the war. Then there's no food. People dying around you. People were eating flowers. I mean, it was so horrible. We had to lay on the ground in our homes when those bombs was going, the ground could shake. There's a young man caught up in this stuff. I wasn't thinking about, I didn't know Sister Karen. I didn't think about having family. I don't think about my future. How you would live for the day. It's the grace of God. I didn't even understand the message. Just, okay, I know these things. Now I can look back and see the hand of, then I was in confusion. But the grace of God was there. It took that thing to bring me in the message. Then God made a way of escape. It was, I think, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when the fighting ceased. The peacekeepers came. I think it was the Nigerian fighters. The brother ship, they're trying to get people to escape. To get on that ship was another problem. My family, my mother, my sister, myself, and her, her,
pause by the time, Brother Amos and the son Randy, her son Randy. We split up. We had to come to a decision because everybody's trying to get on that ship. And I was trying to load people quietly before the rebels found out because they were. So you had to decide. We had to make. I determined I was getting on that ship. We split up. I didn't know if I was going to see my family again. If I don't see you, well, this is goodbye. This is it. But I'm getting on that ship. Every man for himself. That's how bad it was. Imagine my mother. How is she going to be able to get on that ship? But the Lord made a way. We all met on the ship. I don't know how they got on there.
Wow.
The devil was trying to. I remember there was a military soldier. He took, you know, the military belt with the medal and stuff. I think this devil was trying to take my life. I was in the line. I mean, took that thing and lammed it on my head. I could have died right there. Even before, during the war, before I got to that point. It was a point in my life where I got so sick. My little nephew, my sister's first son, he passed away. He had cholera. He just got a sickness. He just died. People thought it was me. You're in a situation where you're sick. There's no medicine. There's no food. There's chaos. Who are you going to go to? You could see people, families were turning against each other. Even in my own house, every man for himself. Who are you going to go to? Who's going to help you? You're on your own. War is a horrible thing. Then I ended up in Ghana as a refugee. That's just a young man who had his whole life and got caught up in a war. Now he's a refugee. He's another country. No one. You're just at the mercy of everybody. But in that state that I was in, there comes the message. That's the grace of God. So God was orchestrating the whole thing. If you are elect, there's nothing can happen to you. Absolutely nothing. I'm speaking from experience now. I know what it is to be in a war. That's why when that stuff was happening in Iraq, people said whatever. They had no idea. It's easy to sit at the television and look and just give your opinion and life goes on. But those people that were caught up in the thing. Brother, what the prophet says, Teresa, when death comes knocking at your door, you will change your opinion. You can say whatever you want when you're feeling good. But when you come face to face with death, you will see God. Even if you're atheist or whoever you say you are. I'm telling you. And then the grace of God came down and he made a way for me to come here. That's how I got here. It's the grace of God. Then I started, you know, everything went well. Now I started thinking, okay, now I got to get married and stuff. But before then, those things don't matter. I had no idea if I was going to be here. You're just thinking to live for the day, to survive. It's the grace of God that got me here. That's why I say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I have seen the reality of this message in the supernatural, and nothing can pull me out. I can always go back. It's more than the quotes. Tests and trials. We know what happened in the church. I'm sorry to say it this way. But let's face reality. Imagine what Pastor went through. God was testing him. We all got to go through tests and trials. It's God that's doing it. You got to know who you are. You have to for your own sake. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion going through. Satan's got no respect, no regard. Look what he did to Job. Wipe all his children out. Wipe everything he had. But it took that which was in Job to keep Job grounded. God don't play around. He's a God of reality. Oh, let me go on. The time is going real fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says something here, speaking of himself. Let me go here. He said, now look. He said, and here was Moses. He's speaking of Moses' mother. Here was Moses' mother in the conflict of testing of her faith.
He said, and every child, every son that cometh to God first must be tried. God test your faith. He said, now look like God could just simply bypass the whole thing and don't have any appropriate way and just cut the thing off. You're speaking of trials. He said, but it's better that he gives you a test and then comes to you when you are in the test. I like that, don't you? The greatest experiences of my life, you're speaking of himself, is when I come up against a mountain that I can get over, under it, or around it, and just stand still, and God will move the thing back. He said, no matter how dark the cloud is, faith pierces it yonder with an eye that looks beyond anything that the devil can set before you, because God is our victory. He said, even death itself has no terror. No wonder the believer can stand and say, oh, death, where is thy sting and grave? Where is thy victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's the faith that makes not ashamed. That's the faith that overcomes. Test and trials. No matter what we go through, God is with us. And we need to be assured of that and understand that so we can relax. Because the trials will come one way. I don't know how or when, but it will come. Every son and daughter will go through tests and trials. Everyone, every individual. It can be now, it may come later, but it will come. Because God does it. That's the word. Amen. He said, Caleb and Joshua, he was speaking about the children of Israel when he got to Kadesh Barnea and Moses sent the 12 spies. He said, Caleb and Joshua was looking at one thing and the 10 was looking at something else. The 10 was looking at the circumstances. He said, Caleb and Joshua was looking at God's word. They said, we can take it, for we are well able to do it because God said we can do it. Because God says so, that's enough. Because God says so. One more quote. Just skipped a whole lot of things here. Let me go into Moses a little bit. Let's look at Moses. When Moses got to Israel and everything happened, whatever Moses said, God confirmed. God used Moses so much that the whole nation of Egypt bowed down to Israel. When God took the firstborn and they left Egypt, I believe Moses was in the height of his ministry. He was on his highs. Because now here the people, they have confidence in Moses because whatever he said, now he's bringing them out. That's the prophet of God, the following the pillar of fire. So I believe Moses was in the height of his ministry. Everything was going well. Exactly what he said was happening. But look what God did. God led them to the Red Sea and then God hardens Pharaoh's heart. To test Moses. Everything Moses said, everything God brought it to pass, it happened. Now they got to the Red Sea. All of a sudden, Pharaoh was coming, angry to wipe them out. Moses was at the height of his ministry. Then God started to test him. What is going on? It seemed like everything was hopeless now. Here's this prophet. It's like everything Moses said, everything he did, everything he preached, now it was being tested. Because it seems like everything was going well, then all of a sudden everything starts going down. People start changing their minds. Now they start complaining. Moses, you brought us here to die. Moses couldn't take it. He started crying. What's going on? Moses couldn't understand it. But God was doing something. It wasn't Pharaoh that decided to come after Moses, because we see that Pharaoh gave up. But the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's God that does it. So now Moses had an anchor. He had to go back to God. And God said, why are you crying? You see, he had an anchor. When trials come, it takes that anchor to keep you. It's the anchor that holds you. Remember that. When the trials come,
when things come and it might come unexpectedly, it takes what's on the inside of you to keep you. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, let me read this quote. He said, maybe some of those poor Israelites, they left the garlic and onions to eat angels' food and was complaining about it. They had left the muddy waters of Egypt to drink from the fountain of life and were complaining about it. He said, they left the boasting physicians of Egypt to be with the great physician and they was complaining about it. They left a bunch of people that believed the days of miracles were past to be with a bunch of people that believe all things are possible and still complaining about it. Isn't that just like the church today? Come out of Egypt, come out of the world, out here in this glorious church of the living God, the firstborn, and because we have little trials, God asks us to believe and hold on, we still complain about it. He said they left the people back there that had no signs to live under the pillar of fire and a cloud and was complaining about it. No wonder their water supply was cut off. That's what's the matter with the church today. There's too much grumbling about things, complaining. He said, be satisfied and keep moving on, pressing on. No matter what happens in the church, what people say or do, keep pressing on. Stop complaining. Hallelujah. He said, God asked them to go to speak to the rock that it would bring forth its water. He said, now tonight, the only thing you have to do is speak to the rock and it will bring forth its water. And if you are on speaking terms with him tonight, I want you to speak to him about your condition, about your body, and he will bring forth the healing waters of life flowing through you freely that you could be healed. Amen. Test and trials. Amen. So no matter what you go through, and you will go through things, don't depend on Brother Lodger. Don't depend on your brother and sister. Go back to that anchor. Amen. Because we will go through tests and trials. That's the way God operates. If God can allow the devil to do that to Job, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has ordained that there will be a bride. We know that we're in this message because we were elected to it. And we were elected because we were very thoughts of God, the gene of God. And God elected us to be conformed to the image of his son. And in order to get that confirmation, it takes tests and trials. So there's no way around that. So we must be aware of these things. We know we are believers. We believe this message of Malachi, for we know that we cannot believe this message unless God call us. Jesus said, no man comes unless my Father draw him. So that's a proof that we are believers. But we must also be aware that we will come to maturity. Tests and trials. You can't escape that. If everything is well now, that's wonderful. But just be mindful that the tests and trials will come. We see the example of Job. It will come. So when it comes, the first thing you must know is that you have found favor with God, that you are elect to seed of God and you found favor. And once you recognize these things, it'll help you. You got to see the hand of God. Nothing can come to you unless God allows it. The blessings you enjoy now, Job said, the Lord give it. If you have a good job, you have a good house, you have family, and everything is going well for you, it's God that done that for you. So the same God that allowed the blessings will also bring the trial because your perfection is more important to God than what you enjoy naturally now. This is only temporal. We are a supernatural people. We are eternal. Everything that has a beginning, the prophecy has an end. So this earth has a beginning, it'll have an end. This life we have has a beginning, we'll have an end. But we're eternal creature. We're going back to the permanent. God allow us to bypass that word body to be tested, to bring us care, to get us ready. We are, this is training ground. We are being ready to reign with him, rule and reign with him. May we stand, please. Musicians, please come. I hope it was a blessing to you. I know it didn't come the way it probably should have came, but it's important to understand these things, to change our mindset about trials. We always look at trials as negative things. We don't want it. Why is this thing happening to me? I do that myself. Why is this thing happening to me? Everything is going wrong. What am I going to do? But remember, when these things come, first thing remember, nothing can happen to you unless God allow it. It's a purpose. Second is to remember you are elect. That's why these things are coming your way. So if you go into problems, whatever your condition is, God is allowing that thing for a purpose. Prophet said, God allowed that woman to be blind for a reason. God allowed that. If you've lost your loved one, God's allowing for a purpose. Whatever happened in this church, God allowed that thing for a purpose. There's nothing that happens that God is not aware of. He's got it all in control. We sing the song. Amen. Whatever your need is, God knows it. Whatever you're desiring, he knows it. If you haven't received what you're desiring yet, it's God that's holding that thing back. So instead of wandering and throwing tantrums, just wait on the Lord. God is doing something. Do we understand it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm preaching today because this is how God ordained it. That's why I'm here. You are in this assembly because God ordained it that way. Every day, each and every day, when you get up from bed, when you get the breath of God in you, there's a purpose for that day for you. That's a reason for it. Some people go to bed and don't wake up the next day. But you were able to get up the next day. That's a reason for that day. God is not done with you yet. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts this morning. Pray, oh God, may you help us, Lord, to understand these things, Lord. We got to grow up, Lord. We are sons. Make us aware, Lord. Help us, Father, to understand. So when trials come our way, that we can relax, knowing that you got everything in control. May you bless the saints, Lord, as we leave this place today. We don't leave your presence. We don't know what tomorrow has, Lord, but we know you hold tomorrow. May you keep our eyes on you and our confidence in your word. We bless your name this morning. We thank you for hearing our humble prayers. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Most was best for me. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control.
God bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
He's put that reassurance without in my soul.
He's got it all in control. My Father knows what I need. My Father knows what I need. And everything I go through, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. puts that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plans. I put my life in His hands. Praise the Lord. He certainly has it in control. He knows exactly what we're going to go through. And He knows exactly the outcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's have Brother Mark Gibbs come forward and close the service with prayer. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we appreciate Your servant this morning, Lord, who came and gave His all and put Himself out of the way, Lord, and allowed You to speak through him, Lord. I just appreciate that message. Lord, in everything that we go through, Lord, we want to put our trust and our faith in You. Lord, we love You so much, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You forgive us of our mistakes, Lord, and that we don't focus on that, but we press on toward the mark, Lord. Bless this wonderful day today. May we enjoy the fellowship of the saints and enjoy each other, Lord. And as we close this service, Lord, just have Your way as we sing a few songs and enjoy Your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.
Blessed be Your name in the land that is plentiful, where Your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be Your name. And blessed be Your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glorious name. Blessed be Your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be Your name. And blessed be Your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be Your name. You give and take away. you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed is your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every trial we walk through, Lord, you know. You know why, Lord Jesus. There's a reason, no matter what. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing. These are the days of Elijah. Hallelujah. As you all are dismissed. These are the days Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. For out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. For out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. For out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. For out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice, a year of jubilee. For right of Zion, his salvation comes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take that song with you. Hallelujah.